Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm excited today. We're focusing on the Lord. What does it mean? The Lord our God, the great and awesome God that we serve, the one who makes the everlasting covenant with us. It's going to be an exciting study, and I'm happy that one of our team members, Christian Martin, is going to be teaching today. Christian, it's amazing to see what God's doing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
With Hope Sabbath School. And we're excited because many young leaders are stepping forward and saying, I'd like to teach the Word of God, not just on our little team here, but around the world. People are going to hopetv.org/hopeSS, downloading the same outline that Christian's going to be using when he teaches us today. You can download it and start an in-depth interactive Bible study group in your area. Mm-hmm. So we're excited that we can be part of our study today as we're focusing on who the Lord is that makes an everlasting covenant with us. Well, good to be together as a team, isn't it?
Yes.
You take a look, you can just see we're still Gideon's band. We're not back to 12 yet, but God is going to bless our study today, and we're looking forward to hearing a word from Him. We're always happy to hear from you, Hope Sabbath School members around the world. Write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Are you encouraged when we hear these emails?
Yes.
We get to see that God's changing lives, and so don't forget to write to us. Here's one from Roderick in South Africa. And Roderick writes and says, greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus.
Greetings.
5 years ago, my wife and I were living in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. We started following Hope Sabbath School there, which we enjoyed and continue to enjoy even today. We're back in Cape Town, South Africa now, and we've continued to watch Hope Sabbath School here. We are both retired school teachers, and while I'm continuing to teach biology, I also serve as first elder in my church. Your ministry with Hope Sabbath School has encouraged me to keep on serving the Lord.
Praise
God. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Blessings and peace to you. Well, Roderick and your dear wife, blessings and peace to you too. And, you know, I remember one great man of God who told me, I will serve the Lord as long as He gives me breath. Isn't that powerful? Mm. God bless you in your ministry there in South Africa. Well, Mark writes to us from Papua New Guinea. And Mark says, hi, Hope Sabbath School team.
Hi.
Hello.
Greetings from Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea. We are watching through Telecom TV. It's good to be back online with your interactive study of the Word of God. May we all make a choice to follow Jesus this year. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
God bless you, Hope Sabbath School team. Well, Mark, thanks for writing to us from Papua New Guinea, and thank you for that challenge. If we ever needed to walk with the Lord, it's today, isn't it?
Amen. Yeah.
Well, here's another of those handwritten notes. We still get them. This is from a donor in Oklahoma in the United States of America. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, what if I can't help a lot? I think there's good evidence from Scripture. It's not how much you give, but the attitude of your heart. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Here's a note saying, enclosed, please find a check to keep Hope Channel on the air. I appreciate Hope Sabbath School. May you continue spreading the message that Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
And a gift for $25.
Amen. Amen.
When we're all working together, it's a donor-supported ministry, we can rejoice as we see God work. Mm-hmm. When you get an email from somewhere like Papua New Guinea or Canada, you can say, praise God. Mm-hmm. We're part of that great miracle. So thank you to our donor from Oklahoma and to each one of our donors. Mm-hmm. Well, here's a note from the Daly family in Canada, Manitoba to be exact. It says, Hope Sabbath School via Roku has been a special blessing and part of our welcoming Sabbath each week. My husband and I have been viewing Hope Sabbath School for all 8 years of our marriage.
Wow.
Is that a good thing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now get this. My fiance introduced me to Hope Sabbath School before we were married. We even watched together via the internet when we were 2,000 miles apart. That's a good way to start a relationship, isn't it?
Yes.
I praise God for Hope Sabbath School. It has strengthened my faith and brought me closer to God. Mm. Hope Sabbath School has enhanced my understanding of the Bible. Well, I just want to say praise God that a relationship can find its center in the Word of God. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
That's a tremendous blessing. Thanks for writing to us from Canada, the Daly family. One last note from Elizabeth in New York. Greetings, brothers and sisters, she says.
Greetings.
Because of the pandemic and lockdown, many of us rely on online interactions. What a blessing. God knew we would need these programs and made them available. Is that true?
Yes. Praise God.
After studying all week, I conclude by watching Hope Sabbath School on Friday evening or Sabbath morning. I've been blessed. I know others have too. I cannot wait for the day when we will all meet and greet in heaven or on the new earth. Let's all be faithful. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Elizabeth, thanks for that exhortation from New York in the United States of America. And again, we're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School family. Right now, we need you to sing our theme song. We're not able to sing here in the studio with the restrictions, but it's a beautiful 3,000-year-old scripture song from Psalm, let's see, 105, verses 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. Seek the Lord. How does it put? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. I had to sing it in my head to remember it for a moment. Beautiful message. Let's sing it together.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing songs to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works.
As we get ready for our study today, let's remember, as the song says, call upon His name. And Christian, why don't you pray for us as we begin our study?
Sure. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are to be able to have this opportunity, this time, to be able to gather together and interact together with the living Word.
Amen.
And we pray that as we study, as we discuss some very valuable concepts, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher and that our hearts would be moved, our hearts would be convicted,
amen,
that we would come to know You even more. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to begin with the question. What is the most important word in the English language? Now, word. Not phrase, not sentence, but what is the most important word in the English language? Travis, you want to try to guess?
I'm going to disagree with you and say there's two, yes and no.
All right. Now, your wife might agree that that's the most important words, but any other guesses? It has been said that the most important word in the English language is your name. Is your name.
Okay.
You know, I remember when I was a student missionary in India, and I was there for a whole year. And I would go about introducing myself with my name. Hello, my name is Christian. And the response was often, no, 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 nehi, nehi. What is your name? Your name. And I would say, Christian. Nehi, nehi, no, 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 your name. They would finally understand that I was not misunderstanding their question. No, I was not saying what religion I was. I was actually sharing my name. But the greater reality is this, that in that Hindu context, my name was more than just a name. It also meant my character. You know, names are important. Names are very important. In fact, our names are one of the elements that identifies us as individuals. And many of us have many names. You have a first name, a middle name, and a last name. You know, when my wife and I had our firstborn, we were very intentional in naming our son. His name is Elijah Christian Martin. And his name has a lot of meaning. Elijah means Yahweh is my God. Christian means follower of Christ. And Martin means warrior. So I was proud of that name. It's a strong name for my boy, my son. And as we're going to discover in our study this week, God had several names. And each of his names had a very specific and powerful meaning. You know, and the primary reason why there's so many names for God throughout the scriptures has something to do with God's nature and his character. And that's what we're going to be discovering as we study. You know, God's names, and the Bible for that matter, has a lot to say about God. It's a revelation of God, who he is, what kind of character does God have, and what he has done in history, throughout history, going all the way back to creation. And that's why the Bible is our most important textbook in Hope Sabbath School.
That's right.
Wouldn't you agree?
That's right.
I mean, that's why it's the Bible and the Bible only. And for those who are viewing at home, we hope that as we launch into our study today, that you have a Bible on hand. You know, I know the verses show up on the screen, but we really encourage you to have your Bible. There's something special, you know, about handling the Word of God with our very own hands. And so let's go ahead and dive right into our study today by going to our very first text. Please open your Bibles to Genesis, to the very beginning, to the first book of the Bible. And we're going to go to the very first text where God reveals himself with the name, Genesis chapter 15, and we'll take a look at verse 7, Genesis chapter 15, verse 7, and Nicole, why don't you read that for us?
Okay. The New International Version of Genesis 15, verse 7 says, "He also said to him, 'I am the Lord, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it.'"
All right. So what did you notice? What name did God use to identify himself to Abram?
I am the Lord.
I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Very good. That's right. Now, who can tell me what the Hebrew name is that's translated Lord? What's the Hebrew name?
Yahweh.
That's correct. Yahweh is the name found in the Hebrew. You know, and that name Yahweh is actually translated Lord in many translations of the Bible. You know, New King James, King James, and many others. In fact, the word Yahweh is found well over 6,000 times in the Hebrew scriptures. Wow. So there's actually quite a bit of references in. And did you know that the Jews, and this is something really interesting, it's like a little amazing fact. Did you know that when the Jewish scribes wrote the scriptures, that when they came to the word Yahweh, that they wrote the word without vows, when they wrote the name of God, without the vows? Can you think of why they would have written it that way? Any ideas, Gladys?
Maybe it was too holy for them to say it, because a word without a vowel, how can you say it?
Yeah.
It's just like a sound. Like
yes.
A holy.
In fact, you're right, because they regarded the name of God so holy that they feared that they would be breaking the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So they feared that they would be doing that. Therefore, they wrote the name without vows. You know, in fact, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, and I invite you to go there, gives us the meaning of this name that God uses to identify himself in different terms. But notice what Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 says and how God introduces himself this time to Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Travis, could you read that for us?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you.
So when Moses is asking, who's sending me? He was a little nervous, maybe a little anxious. Who's sending me? The response is, I am who I am. Period. Okay. I am who I am. You know, and I want us to linger on that name just for a few moments here. Let those words, that name, just really sink in. I am who I am. What's the importance of that name to you? How does that name speak to you? I am who I am. Travis?
I just actually preached a sermon on this, and the more I studied it, the more amazed I was by this name, because in the book of John, chapter 11, Martha's brother has died, and he's in the grave, and she's sad because he has died, and Lord, if you'd have been here, and Jesus says, your brother will rise again, and she goes, I know he will, Lord, in the last days, and Jesus says these words, I am the resurrection and the life. And I started piecing this together, and I realized that every time he used this, Jesus or God is saying, I am currently available to take care of your problems right now. I'm the same God that has been and always will be. I am always available.
Amen. I love the way you put that. I am currently available. Not just available, but currently available. That's very good. So God is saying, basically, I'm in the present. I am who I am. I'm not a God that you have to research and just look back in history, you know, about who I am. But I am in the present. He's available, currently available now. Yeah, Jason?
And looking at this story in the context of Moses and Abraham, God is speaking to Moses and using the same name he used to Abraham, saying, you know, Abraham, I was the one there who brought you to this land. I brought you out of Ur. And to Moses, I'm the one who was with Abraham. I'm the one who will be with you. And so also connecting to the children of Israel, who are the children of Abraham, I'm being led by that same person. So God is consistent, and also am, it's an action verb. God is the one doing the work. God is the one directing. So Abraham and Moses, they're following his lead, but they're really just, you know, God's agents following his guidance.
Beautiful thoughts. Yes, Sabina.
And I'm thinking also that it sounds to me like it's a name that was not given by nobody. So as you were sharing, you have a son and you took the pleasure of naming him and the delight because he was your creation in a sense. You know, God allowed you to give birth and to a child so you could name it. But as for God, he is self-existent. So he doesn't have a name that was given by nobody. He simply is. And for me, the I am speaks to God's self-existence, to the fact that nothing conditioned his existence. He simply is.
Beautiful, beautiful. And did you notice something? I felt it. I felt the dynamic here. As we were expressing, you know, who God is, okay, did you notice what was happening? You were praising him.
Yes.
Did you hear yourself? You were praising him as you expressed, you know, what that name means to you. And that's why I love the Psalms. The Psalms has to be one of my favorite books in the Bible, if only because it's so full of praises. For example, Psalms chapter 9. Can we look up Psalms 9? I love this psalm. It's one of many psalms that expresses praise. But let's take a look at this psalm, and why don't we look at verses 1 and 2 and maybe 9 and 10, those four verses. Gladys, could you read that for us?
Sure. Reading from the New International Version, Psalms chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 and 9 and 10. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. Verses 9 and 10. The Lord is a refuge to the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. Mm. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you.
Mm. Powerful. Did you notice in verse 10 that those who put their trust in him mm-hmm. is because they what?
Know your name.
They know his name.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's wow. pretty deep. That's pretty yeah. powerful. And they know his name.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, they can't help but to praise him because mm-hmm. they know his name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Hebrew, there's something significant about that verb, to know. What do we know about that verb? Anybody? It's not just simply saying, I know you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's something more to it, isn't there, Travis?
It's to know, like late the Bible talks about Abraham knew Sarah.
And then so what happened?
She had a baby. So, right. I mean, so this is an intimate relationship. It's close. Yeah. It's personal.
That's right. You nailed it. You know, another example is Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Adam knew Yada. It's actually the Hebrew word, Yada. Adam knew his wife, and she had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's that intimate relationship that is happening in the use of the verb to know.
Yeah.
And here it says, those who put their trust in you, they do so because they know his name.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they have an intimate relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another name found in the scriptures is El Shaddai. Have you heard of that name before, El Shaddai? Here in the United States, there's a well-known song, isn't there, that sings about El Shaddai,
mm-hmm.
El Shaddai. And the first mention of El Shaddai in the Hebrew scriptures is found in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. This is where we find the name of God, El Shaddai, there mentioned in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Sabina, could you read that for us?
Yes, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless.
Amen. Now, who can tell me what word translated in the English is actually the Hebrew word El Shaddai? What English words have been translated as such from the Hebrew word El Shaddai?
God Almighty.
That's correct, Gladys. Mm-hmm. God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
That is the English translation. And it's interesting to note that in the very last verse of chapter 16, the very last verse, Abraham is mentioned as being how old?
99. 86.
In the last verse of chapter 16.
86.
That's right, 86.
Yeah.
Now, the very next verse is a new chapter, but remember, chapters and verses, all that wasn't there before. But in the very next verse, in chapter 17, verse 1, how old is he?
99.
He's 99.
Yes.
Did you notice something? Whoa, yes. Between two verses.
13 years.
Okay, there's 13 years before, between these two verses. Now, with that in mind, I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the significance that God, who has revealed himself to Abraham already,
mm-hmm.
okay, would now reveal to him again,
mm-hmm.
but this time use the name El Shaddai?
Yeah.
Now, let me give you a perspective, a context. There's 13 years have gone by since the last time God spoke to him.
Yes.
That might be a factor, maybe, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think? Why does he call himself El Shaddai? Gladys?
Well, if you know it, like you just mentioned it in the previous chapter in 16, Abraham just took a detour to God's plan. He had Ishmael. Ishmael was not or the son that God had promised him.
Okay.
And now he's 99 years old. So maybe Abraham is like, maybe this is not going to happen.
Okay.
So God had to stress himself and say, hey, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, I am all powerful. I'm everything. So God had to explain to him again.
Okay.
You're talking to me.
Yeah, it's great. Because a mighty, get this, a mighty miracle is going to necessitate a mighty God. Right? Uh-huh, Travis?
So the word El Shaddai can also mean all-sufficient one.
Oh, wow.
And so that meant a lot more to me as reading this story, because Abram had just done this, and God is telling him, I am sufficient to take care of this.
Yeah.
So that meant a lot to me.
Yes, yes, sir.
Christian, I was just noticing, because, of course, he's in the midst of a polytheistic culture where they have lots of gods.
Mm-hmm. True.
But this is not another God.
Yes.
It says right in the text, the Lord said to him, and it's Yahweh, right? Mm-hmm. It's the name of Yahweh here.
Okay.
Yahweh said, I am El Shaddai. It's another revelation, like you said, of our great and awesome God, not another God.
Yes.
It is the Lord.
It's the same Lord.
Who says, Yahweh, who says, I am God Almighty.
Amen.
Powerful, powerful. Mm-hmm. And it's all in the name, because it's a revelation of the character of God in moments where a perspective of God, okay, is necessary to have. And God communicates that through his name, can you think of other Bible characters that where God introduces himself to them as El Shaddai? Do other examples come to mind? And if so, what lessons can we learn from their experience? Do a few come to mind? Some other characters that were introduced to God, or God introduced himself to them as El Shaddai. Who comes to mind? Jason, you have an example?
I think of the story of Jacob.
Okay.
And he's gone through a bit of a difficult situation. There's actually some verses I could read in Genesis that kind of talk about where God comes to him.
Okay. Okay, please, why don't you go ahead and read those?
Sure. So this is in Genesis chapter 35, verses 9 through 11.
Okay.
Got the New King James Version here, and it says, "Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, 'Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name.' So he called his name Israel, and God said to him, 'I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body.'"
Thank you, Jason. And can you think of some lessons that we can learn from Jacob's experience, you know, being told that his name is El Shaddai? What can we learn from that?
Definitely. So Jacob was a person who had a bit of a journey, you could say. He definitely challenged God in a lot of situations. In fact, he even wrestled with God one night there. But what this lesson tells us is that God is almighty, God is all powerful, and God is reassuring Jacob, you know, I know you've gone through all these different experiences. I know you've had challenges and struggles, but I'm still the same God who's there, and I'm the one who's in control, and I have the power to continue to fulfill my blessing. And one of Jacob's, you know, big dreams was the whole birthright blessing of the Messiah. And so he's being reassured that this is the Almighty One. He can make this happen and continue to make this happen.
Amen. And Jason, I appreciate that more than once you said reassured, reassured, reassured. And that's exactly why God would call himself, you know, particular names, because he wants to communicate a message of hope and reassurance to his listeners. Yeah, Travis?
Also, every one of us, you just said that names are the most important thing in the English language, supposedly. Well, there was things attached to his name, Deceiver.
Okay.
But he's given a new name, One Who Prevails.
Nice.
And so God is giving him a new name. He's actually transforming his, in a sense, transforming his life, giving him a new identity.
Wow.
In God.
Wow, wow, wow. A new identity and foretelling his destiny and his calling. Wow, that's powerful. You know, and just as prophets and patriots and kings of old, you know, were reassured, you know, they found strength, they found a new sense of calling, Travis. You know, just as much as they did, does God do the same today in the 21st century?
Amen. Mm-hmm. I am.
Amen. 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 Can anyone here share a time when you needed to be reassured that God is El Shaddai? You know, that He is the Almighty. Did you ever go through an experience that you'd like to share? Just briefly, just to share your testimony of how God manifested Himself to you as the Almighty, because that's what you needed at that moment in time, that moment in your life. Anyone like to share? Gladys, I see a smile. You must have a story.
Well, I've shared this before, but I went through a brain tumor 2 years ago, and I needed to know that God was going to bring me through, because all of the doctors said it's not going to happen, you know, but if it happens, it's a very bare minimal chances that you will make it. Mm. But I know that God has served, and this is the proof that I'm still sitting here.
Amen.
Talking to you.
Praise God. He manifested Himself in your life in a mighty way.
Amen.
Because He is El Shaddai.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. Wow. You know, Travis, you mentioned the name-changing experience that Jacob had. Was there another man in the Old Testament whose name was also changed? What was his name?
Abram.
Abram became Abraham. Yeah. Okay. And he's a good example. His story is found in Genesis chapter 17. And why don't we take a look at this story, this passage, Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. And Jason, could you read that for us? Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. And here's a story of how El Shaddai changed Abram's name.
I've got the New King James Version here. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations.
Very good. Now, in the context of a covenant-making God, okay, why? Let's start with the why. Why change a name? I mean, really, after all, does that really make a difference? In this case, why do you think God changed Abram's name? Travis?
I see a beautiful story here. Abraham has just failed God with what they did, and now he's not reassuring him, I'm all sufficient, but he's reiterating the promise by giving him a new name.
Amen.
And so, yeah, I see that, and when I think of myself, you know, when I fail, it's like God has promised me a new name as well. Not with all that stuff attached. And so I'm praising God. One day I'll have a new name. It won't have all the other stuff attached to it.
Amen, amen. Any other thoughts on why his name would be changed? Sabina?
It comes to my mind again the thing about the position of the one who is the creator and who is able to name someone after. So here, both to Jacob and to Abraham, he is reminding the aspect of the covenant, which was the blessing of making them fruitful and multiply, you know, and bear new children. So for me, it also at least makes me think of God's power as a creator, as the one who gives life. So if he can change your name, he can change your identity. He also is the one who will make you bear new children and make of you a great nation.
Amen.
Even if you think you are a small person and powerless, mine's only God's power.
Amen, amen. Thank you for sharing those wonderful thoughts. You'll also notice that the name change is an act before the fact. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
True.
And, you know, in other words, there may be some significance in the fact that God gives a new name that foretells one's destiny and purpose. God is wanting to reveal, you know, what we can become through His grace. And He states it before it's in fact, because that's how he looks at us. Mm-hmm. Now, let's consider the story of another Bible character whose name was changed. Well, we looked at Abram, and we mentioned Jacob, actually. Travis, you pointed out Jacob and his name change, and mm-hmm. that was powerful. Goes from a name that means basically, you know, deceiver, supplanter, mm-hmm. to triumph, you know, in God, mm-hmm. a victorious name, a powerful name. And now, we've looked at, you know, instances. We looked at a couple where God is the one who changes the name of the individual, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But is there examples in the Bible where God's, or rather, where Bible characters' names are changed, not by God, mm-hmm. but by yeah. human powers.
Yes.
Okay? But, let me be quick to add, but yet they remain loyal to God. Because mm-hmm. now we're talking about the power of a name. Mm-hmm. The power of a name. Mm-hmm. And the impact and the influence that can have in the way you live your life. Mm-hmm. Are there examples of individuals whose names were changed by human powers? Can you mm-hmm. think of one or two?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the one that comes to my mind immediately is Daniel.
Daniel.
So if we could read together Daniel chapter 1, okay. verse 7.
All right, let's go to Daniel chapter 1, and let's take a look at verse 7.
Yeah, so I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, to them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Misael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So there's an attempt there that goes a lot deeper than just merely another name or a new name. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Could it be that the motive behind this is to actually change their very identity? Mm-hmm. They want to bring about a Babylonian identity mm-hmm. that goes much mm-hmm. deeper than just mm-hmm. a different name. That's a great example. But what do we know about Daniel? Mm. Was Daniel swayed by, or rather, was he, did it change his identity?
No.
Who he was in God's sight? Did that change?
No. Mm-hmm.
How do we know that didn't change?
We have the story.
We have the story. We have the record. We have the evidence. The story is recorded in the Bible. You know, that makes me think of the passage that says that there's a reason why these stories are recorded in the scriptures.
Yes.
Isn't there?
Yeah.
Because today in the 21st century, as we look back at those stories, mm-hmm. it will strengthen our faith and our resolve to stand, mm-hmm. you know, in the sight of God, knowing who we are in Him.
Yes.
So the verse that comes to mind in Daniel is that he purposed, mm-hmm. right, in his heart, yes. that he would not defile himself, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just think in John chapter 20, this just came to me because in John chapter 20, John basically says, I've written many things I would write down, but you wouldn't even
yes.
begin to understand everything. But the things I have written down is that you believe in the Son of God and that you believe that you will have, I think, life in His name.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that was really powerful to me. So now when I read the book of John, I'm thinking, this is all written so that I may believe in God and that I may have life in His name.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Daniel. Can you think of another example, another Bible character whose name was changed by a kingly or human power?
Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Egypt.
Do you know what passage that yes. is found?
Yes, that is in Genesis.
Okay.
Chapter 41, and it's in verse 45.
Oh, excellent. Could you read that for us, Gladys?
Yes, I will try not to slaughter his name.
Yeah, I know.
It says Genesis chapter 41, verse 45 says, Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Saphnath-Paneah. And gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, prince of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt.
Mm. Mm. You did an excellent job, by the way. You know, I wondered what that name meant, and I looked it up, and I actually found the meaning of that new name that was given to Joseph. Do you know what his new name means?
One who discovers.
One.
one who discovers. Mm-hmm.
That's what I looked it up too. That's what
you
I.
You know what? You know, there's all kinds of different ideas out there. You know, and actually, the reality is that names often have more than one meaning, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another meaning that I found for that name is my provision is God, the living one. However, God with the lowercase G.
Mm. Oh, wow.
My provision is God, right? Wow. Again, an attempt to be able to change. Mm-hmm. Sabina, you had mentioned the worldview, mm-hmm. you know, in a recent study. You know, the worldview, the way one interprets, you know, life around them. Could it be that, again, there was an attempt to change the worldview of Joseph? But did they succeed by giving him a new name?
No.
They did not. How do we know that? Because it is written, right?
Yes.
It is written. Yeah. But do we what testimony does Joseph give that reveals that he was not swayed by the influence of a new name? How do we know that? Can you think of a verse or a passage in Joseph's life that truly reveals that he stood firm? Can you think of an example?
Well,
yes, Gladys?
I think that when his brothers came to Egypt, Dubai, and everything happened, at the end, he said, God sent me ahead of you. So he didn't see it as, you know, oh, Pharaoh gave me this big privilege to be. No, he said God. He acknowledged God as the one who sent him ahead of his brothers.
Beautiful. Wow. Again, Joseph had a testimony. You know, one reason why God changed names is because their role, you know, was being transformed. And in Abram's case, his name was changed because God chose to make an everlasting covenant with him. And we need to read about it in Genesis chapter 12. So I invite you to go with me to Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 1 to 4. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. And as we read this passage, I would like for us to notice the man that God chose to make an everlasting covenant with, a man whose name would be changed. What important elements do you notice in God's covenant with Abram? And I want you to be ready to point those out as we read the passage there in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Sabina, could you read that for us?
Yes, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran.
There's an element there that's very important that just kind of, you know, just kind of surfaces above the rest. It rises above the rest. What element do you notice in the Lord's covenant with Abraham? What are some elements? Can you name a few? Yeah, Travis?
So I see instruction, guidance, personal blessing, and then blessing to others.
Oh, I like that. That was well put. Uh-huh. Sabina?
I see promise, and a promise that he is affirming that he's going to accomplish.
Okay.
He's saying, I will, I will.
I will, I will, I will. Very good. You know, and what gets me excited is this, that here's a God who makes a covenant with mankind, right? And unlike other covenants that are made on earth among people in relationships, namely a marriage covenant and other types of covenants from human to human, this covenant that's made with God is including a God who cannot lie, a God who is faithful, a God who is constant, a God who never changes. And, you know, something I love most about this covenant-making God is that he's a God who takes the initiative. He takes the initiative. Oh, I love that. He takes the initiative. Have you ever heard the hound of heaven used as a reference to God? The hound of heaven. That means he is a God who comes after us. He comes searching for us. You know, when you think about that characteristic of God, a God who takes initiative, a God who doesn't wait for us to respond, but he is proactive. What does the proactive behavior of our covenant-making God reveal about his character? What does it teach us about his character? And as you think about a God who takes initiative, why don't you come up with maybe a passage or two that supports your response, that reveals this initiative by a God who comes after us, a God who doesn't just sit back and wait to be found. Can you think of a few, Gladys? And then,
well, I guess the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16.
That's right.
A God who gives his all in all.
Okay.
You know, he's not saying, oh, so you know, expecting something in return.
Yes.
He just gives.
Mm-hmm. He gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's an eternal initiative there. Derek, you had a thought.
So I just wanted to respond to that hound of heaven. I don't really like that because a hound chases in order to catch something.
That's true.
So, but I understand what the poet was trying to talk about there. But to me, a much more beautiful image is what Jesus shares in Luke 15 of the loving father running towards his wayward child.
Yes.
I mean, that's just an incredible picture.
Yes.
You know, we speak about the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, but there, around verse 20, someone can find it, I know, 21, 22, somewhere right in there in Luke 15, is this father who literally humbles himself, gathers up his long robe, runs towards his wayward son. To me, that is an incredible picture of our covenant-making God.
Yes.
Even when we've broken the covenant,
yes.
If we'll just turn toward him,
yes,
he comes running towards us in love.
Amen.
And embraces us and doesn't treat us as a servant.
Amen.
But as a daughter, as
Amen.
A son,
Amen.
As a member of the family.
Amen.
Amazing picture.
Amen. Amazing picture. You know, I think of a few passages in the New Testament written by Paul. Can you think of any that Paul himself wrote? Yes, Sabina?
The one that I'm thinking that relates also to what Pastor Derek just shared is Romans 5:8.
Okay.
And I can read it from the New King James Version.
Okay.
And it says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us."
Amen.
So even for the case of Abram, we just discussed in a previous lesson how we've, in a world of sin, you know, we just see decay after decay. And I'm imagining God just like looking forward to find a way for us to reconnect in a deep relationship with him.
Wow.
Even though we were all, you know, defeated and there was not much promise in that. And God yet, even we were still sinners, he made a covenant with Abram, and he's making a covenant with each one that is willing to be with him in this space even now. So I think Amen. It's beautiful.
Amen. Sabina, thank you for pointing out that verse. I love that verse. And I love that verse so much. I want to just stay in that verse just a bit longer. While we were yet sinners. Let's unpack that just a bit more. I mean, well, how does that speak to you? While we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners. That's amazing grace. Nicole, talk to us. I mean, that's amazing grace. What does that verse say to you?
Well, it says to me now. I'm in sin right now. But yet and still, God is still seeking. He's still trying to make me someone that he wants to spend the rest of his life with, and my life with. So it gives me encouragement that even in the midst of my wayward self, God is still reaching out and trying to get me and trying to woo me while I don't deserve it with his love.
Amen. Beautifully said. Ooh. Yes, Travis.
I think of a parable in Matthew 13, 45, the pearl of great price.
Yes.
The idea is Jesus knew what he was getting. And some maybe think, well, you don't know how bad I am, but Jesus knew you were broken when he bought you. And that's the beauty of the gospel.
Yes.
He'll take you just the way you are, even broken.
Amen, amen, amen. He'll take you just the way you are, even broken.
Yeah.
Powerful, yes.
I was trying to find that verse. It's verse 20 of Luke 15.
Okay.
Where he goes running.
Okay.
But, you know, I can imagine the adversary saying to that young man, when you get cleaned up, you know, when you finally get all cleaned up, then go back to your father. But he goes just as he is. And again, this picture, Christian, of the Father embracing him and kissing him though he smells like a pig. It's just, it's amazing grace.
You know, we talked about in a recent study about creation and how God formed man for the dust of the ground. He handled him with his hands, right? Yep. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Mm-hmm. Going back to that story of the prodigal son, the Father kissed him. You know, to kiss,
that's
very intimate. I mean, he's touching his lips to the very face, you know, of another. I mean, that's intimacy there. And Jesus, you know, Jesus could have simply said he embraced him, right? No, but Jesus wants to get his point across. He wants to make sure that sinners understand.
Praise God.
That there's a Father who will kiss us while we were still sinners.
Praise God.
Wow, what a beautiful picture of
Amazing
God.
Grace.
Amazing grace. You know, and as I think about the everlasting covenant, you know, and these awesome promises given to Abraham, you know, it thrills our heart. But there's a problem. Or maybe there's not. The problem is that I am not a direct descendant of Abraham. Is anyone here today a direct descendant of Abraham? No, there's no hands are going up. No hands are going up. Direct descendant. No, there's no hands going up. And so my question is, how can we be certain that we are included in the everlasting covenant with the Lord, the Shaddai, God Almighty, even though we may not be physical descendants of Abram? Is that a problem? How do we resolve that biblically? Do you have a passage in the Bible that responds to that? Paul might have a thing or two to say about that. Gladys, do you have a passage that can answer that, resolve that problem?
Yes, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9, it says, "Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham."
Okay.
"Scripture foresaw that God will justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith."
Oh, thank you, Apostle Paul. I mean, he nailed that response, didn't he? Anyone want to unpack that a little bit? And what is Paul saying? Let's keep it simple. How can you take the passage that Gladys just read about, from written by Paul, and just sum it up in a very simple way? What's the response?
I think the response, Christian, is in verse 29.
Okay.
And maybe I could read that from the New King James
Version. Please do.
But it says in Galatians 3:29, "If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed."
Amen.
"And heirs according to the promise." That means all of the promises given to Abraham and his descendants are ours in Christ.
Praise God.
Amen.
Heirs of the kingdom, you know, that city whose builder and maker is God.
Yeah. Wow.
All of those promises, because we are in Christ, which means we've accepted Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord.
Praise God. So those responses resolve the problem. Yeah. It's not a physical descent that we must have in order to be saved. No, but it's spiritual attributes, you know, shared with Abraham, such as faith and obedience, that leads to a saving relationship with God, and we become part of that covenant.
Amen.
You know, in fact, Abraham is included in Hebrews, you know, Hall of Faith. You know, he's mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And there in that chapter, Abraham is mentioned, and his faith is affirmed. And Jason, could you look that up and read it for us? And it's in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. What does that say about Abraham?
I have the New King James Version here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Mm. And he went out not knowing where he was going.
Wow, that's radical obedience, isn't it? Radical obedience. So let me ask you, why is obedience such an important part of our response to this covenant-making God? Hmm. Why is that so important?
Derek? Well, I'm thinking it's as important as God telling Noah and his family, get in the ark.
Mm. Yes. It's
like Nicola said in previous studies, it's God's protection so that the salvation can happen.
Amen.
And of course, the enemy says you're trying to work your way to heaven. Absolutely not. No. We are saved by the grace of God, but he's telling us how we can participate in that salvation.
Amen. And that message is coming from a God who says, my name is El Shaddai. Yeah. My name is Yahweh. And you know, as we continue on this journey, let's discover that there is a God who's going to empower and enable us to be able to be faithful and respond in obedience because he abides in us. Amen. You know, as we took a look at this study, we discovered that there's a God in heaven that wants to be mighty in your life, and he wants to be the Lord of your life. And above all, he wants you to know his name.
Thank you so much, Christian. What a great study. And it's an exciting journey we're on as we're talking about the covenant. We talk today about the Lord of the covenant. He is the great I Am. He is El Shaddai. He is the one who loves you with an immeasurable and unfailing love and wants to spend eternity with you. He is the loving Father running towards you to embrace you and welcome you home. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, what a beautiful picture. You are the great and awesome I Am. You are the El Shaddai, but you are also the one who loves us with an immeasurable and unfailing love. May we see a beautiful revelation even today and respond in loving obedience to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. You say, Derek, I'm learning so much about the character of God. That's true. The enemy doesn't want us to know how much God loves us and why he wants to spend eternity with us. He loves you, my friend, with an everlasting love. Rejoice in that love today and then go out and be a blessing to those around you.